You have your Bibles in Ephesians chapter 6. Last few Sundays, I've been in the book of Psalms, preaching some well-known passages in the Psalms. And this morning, I want to kind of go a different, not really a different route, I guess, but just talk about a little bit about getting prepared for the coming time. Now, I'm going to back this down just a little bit. I keep breathing into it. Now, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has been, ever since the beginning of the church, going through persecution. And the Bible talks about persecution, tribulation, and the lie. And many times, the church going through persecution seems an awful lot like tribulation. But the church is not a stranger to persecution. Jesus warned the church from the very beginning. The world, while it may look like it loves you and cares about you, when it gets down to it, the world is against the things of God. It is anti-God, anti-Christ. It's against God. That's what the word anti means. It means against or another. In the book of 1st or 2nd John, the Apostle John said that the spirit of Antichrist was already here. Now you keep in mind, that was about 2,000 years ago that he made that statement. And the statement was the spirit of Antichrist or against Christ or another spirit. And folks, can I tell you something? That in our day, it is nothing new that's going on under the sun as far as the church being persecuted for what it believes and what it stands for. Now, it may be wrapped in a different cloak. It may be presented a different way. But persecution has always been connected with the church. The church has always been connected with persecution. Now, that's not a very good selling point whenever you go to witness somebody, and you just tell them that persecution is going to be part of the deal. Amen? It's really not. But that's what Jesus said. Jesus told his disciples, the world is going to hate you because it hated me. That's what Jesus said. And you know what? He was absolutely right. The Apostle Paul wrote the majority of the New Testament. And he started out a persecutor of the church. And he was good at it. He was driven by the thought that he was doing God a favor. Jesus told his disciples, there's going to come a time when the world will persecute you because they're thinking they're doing God a favor. God moved in the Apostle Paul's life, and he taught the Apostle Paul some things, beginning at the road of Damascus and continuing on for some time after that. The Apostle Paul had to learn some things. And here in the book of Ephesus, you want a good reading assignment? Read the book of Ephesus this week. The Ephesians. It's only six chapters long. But it's a good book to read. The Apostle Paul is actually teaching about the church, about the things of the church. Now in verse 10, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, he is equipping the saints to be prepared for the battle that is being waged around them. And he tells us it's time to get equipped. And I want you to know something. I want you to understand something. That there is a battle going on, a spiritual battle. Hello, Miss Louise. I didn't see you here. She just snuck in. There's a spiritual battle going on, and it's waging in our country like perhaps never before. At least, let me put it this way. At least never before in my lifetime. Amen. You know the way we judge history and you know we say this is the worst time there ever was? Because we compare it to what we've witnessed. Even though they've been some worse times back under a little way, you know, from what I understand, the church that went through Roman times, whenever they were in charge, that was a bad time to be a Christian. And so Paul is telling them how to get equipped. So in verse 10, he starts off, or actually finishes off. He says, "Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." If you're going to be a Christian that's going to stand for the Lord, you better not be trying to do it in your own power, in your own might. Verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." Brother Stephen, would you lead us while we pray?
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for another day you've allowed us to come out to your house, dear Lord, just a place where we can come and freely worship you, dear Lord. And we just ask you, dear Lord, to be with Brother Willie as he brings the message today, dear Lord. And we just ask you, remember all the ones mentioned today on the prayer list, dear Lord. You know, we know that you can heal them, dear Lord. We just ask the Lord to remember these as they travel home today, dear Lord. We ask all this in his holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Kind of
just getting started, and I done mentioned this a little bit. In verse 10, it's the battle is, I've heard the The defense is identified. If we're going to stand for what we believe the Bible to say is true and correct and all of that, we have to be reliant upon a strength that's stronger than me. Sometimes I just don't want to. You ever be that way? Are you ever that way? Just don't want to. Or just can't. You know, this past week, and I done said it once today, it's been a long week. It's been a tiring week. And sometimes you just want to throw up your hands and just sit down and quit. And folks, can I tell you, that is nothing new. That is exactly what happened with the Apostle Peter. Whenever he looked around and he looked and seen everything that was going on, Jesus was gone. Jesus was no longer with them. And the coming persecution was gathering momentum against them. And they just didn't know which way to go. And Peter just decided that he was going fishing. He wasn't, he wasn't just going to catch a mess of perch or anything like that. But he was going back to his old way of life. He was going back and he was just quitting the ministry. He was giving up. And the disciples, his brethren that should have been there with him and encouraged him, said, you know what? We're going to go with you. Amen? And folks, can I tell you that if we are going to stand, if Peter was going to stand, if God was going to stand, if any of us was going to stand, we better be plugged into something bigger than us. Because sometimes you're not going to want to. You're just not going to fill up to it. You're just not going to be able to go on. You know, whenever I was in the military during some of that training, whenever you just went as far as you could go, you'd be on a long run or something, and I never was much of a runner, I'll just tell you that right now. Whenever I was law enforcement, and they kept telling me something foolish and say, "Well, what if that guy's outrun you? Run you?" I said, "I'd get in the squad car, run him down, amen. He can't run faster than that car." But during that training, and you just went as far as you could, sometimes somebody would run behind you or beside you, and they'd grab a hold of you, and they'd encourage you and make you go that much further. Sometimes, brethren, we have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's how we go a little further. That's how we face down those adversaries that's going to come. Next thing that I see here in this passage is that we're to equip ourselves. He said, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." I just want to say this. He said that we're to put on the whole armor of God. That means that's something we got to do. We got to take what God gives us and equips us with. You know, again, whenever I was in the military, they give us what we called a war bag. It had our helmet in there. It had our black vest. It had our gas mask. It had all kinds of stuff in it. If you left it at the house, all bundled up and went and didn't bring it with you and you didn't put it on and didn't do any good. So he said, put on the whole armor of God. This section is the enemy identified. You know, when I started driving the school bus, and the first time 9/11 came around, it was the first time that I realized, and I drove middle school and high school kids, and it's the first time that I realized that these kids in middle school, early high school, their nation has been at war their entire life. They have never known a time of peace. Now, Brother Sam, this war that we're in, and we've been in, unless you actually have a family member that's gone overseas and fought in it and served, and you know, the average American doesn't even realize that we've been in war since that dreadful day in 2001, right? Right after that, everybody said, we'll never forget. We'll never forget. We never forget. You know what? The average American has got. Now, can I spiritualize that for just a second? In the spiritual sense, we're in a war. And we've forgotten who the enemy is. We've forgotten who the enemy is. And it's Satan, the devil. And here in this, he says we're to put on the whole armor of God that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. Let me find it here. What's the wiles of the devil? Tricks. He's sneaky. He's underhanded. In a war, a lot of times, well, most of the time, in a war, you have what they call rules of engagement. Can I tell you, the devil don't have any rules of engagement. He fights to win and he fights dirty. Amen. And he's after your family. He's after you. He's after your church. He's after the things that you and I hold dear. There's things today that I never thought would be discussed openly and accepted as widely as it is. Amen? I do. I never thought we'd have to worry about gay marriage, same-sex marriage, whatever you want to call it. I never thought we'd have to worry about that. But now it's the law of the land. The law of your land. Amen? I never thought that it would come a time when they would say it doesn't matter if you're male or female and you can go to any bathroom where you feel like you identify with that week. I never thought we'd be facing times like this. I never thought we would be facing times when things were that we have grown up with. And I'm just touching on a couple of them. I never thought there'd be a time whenever people would get arrested for trying to share the Word of God. Let me tell you, those times are here. The wiles of the devil, the tricks of the devil. The Bible tells us about our enemy. He's a real enemy. And he can disguise himself to look like an angel of light. He's tricky. He's got the eyes of this world blinded to the things of God, where they would accept anything. You know about the only thing that's not acceptable nowadays is to be a Christian? Amen. Everything else, we're told to be, we're supposed to be, what do they call it? Tolerant. I think that's the key word. Of everything and anything. Except Brother Sam, they don't want to be tolerant of our Lord. Amen? Now we need to be wise, harmless and stuff. That's what the Bible teaches. We need to have our eyes open. We need to walk circumspectly. That word circumspectly is the word where we get our eyeglasses. The word eyeglasses or spectacles from. We need to walk around with our eyes open to pay attention to things that's going on around us. We need to put on the whole armor of God that we can withstand or to stand against the wiles or the trickery of the devil. And verse 12 goes on and identifies the adversary just a little bit more. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know, when we get mad at each other and get mad at one another and get mad at other folks, it's not the other folks. It's the enemy that's behind the other folks. You see, Satan is most of the time behind the scenes. And everything and everybody he'll use as a tool to accomplish his purpose. And he's only got one purpose. Only one purpose. And that is to defeat the children of God, or defeat God's people, and to stop God's work. That's his only purpose. That's all he's doing. That's all he's trying to do. And he uses those things around. And if he can get you, and if he can get me, to be at odds against one another, and to get us to where we won't talk to one another, and won't work with one another, and won't fellowship with one another, he's gone a long way in accomplishing what he wants to do. Amen. I know Christian folks that won't talk to one another. They're so mad at each other right now, they can bite a nail into it. Y'all know folks like him? Y'all might have been folks like that one time. But he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand therefore. That's a tongue twister. You can say it too fast. But he's saying you just need to stand for what's right. And the only way you can do it is in the power of his might and in the strength of the Lord. And we are equipped with the armor of God, and that we need to put on the armor of God. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, and praying always with all prayer and supplication. Just a couple of these I want to mention. I'm not going to take time to go to all of them today. But a couple of them. First of all, in verse 16, above all. Now, I don't know about you, but that kind of highlights that part. Now, it's important, and I don't want to undermine that. It's important that we put on the breastplate of our girt, our loins with truth, the breastplate of righteousness. Those are important. The feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. But then in verse 16, he says, above all, he's more important than anything else. Taking the shield of faith. Now let me tell you, the shield of faith. You know, we walk by faith. What is faith? Faith is the simple belief in something. That's all it is. The trust in something. That's a little bit more than just believing. Amen. Because I believe, when we leave here in a few minutes, I believe that that when I get to my truck and I take that key and I put it in that ignition and I turn that key, I believe my truck's going to start. If it don't, I call Terry. I believe it's going to start. It started every other time. It's about, you know. But I had vehicles before, and I was talking to, you know, Michelle and I was explaining this to Kara. There was a time in our adult life when I believed that car was going to start when I stuck that key in it, but Brother Kelly, I wasn't really trusting that it would. Amen? One time, and I'd forgotten about this, we had three vehicles in the yard, three. I was pastoring up at in Poplarville, and we need to get to church. And we went to the first one. We started it when, before we got out of the road, the driveway, it had a flat. Got it back to the house. Got in the other one. It wouldn't start or something. I don't remember what it was.
Muffler fell off.
And the third one wouldn't start. I had to call somebody to come and pick us up so I could go preach to them that morning. Amen. Now, faith, just a couple words. We might go a little bit past 12. Y'all forgive me. But because faith, when we place our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, He promises us that He will neither leave us nor forsake us. Does that mean that He won't let us go through trouble? Does that mean that everything's going to be A-OK and nothing's ever going to hurt us? And we're never going to have to go through these trials, these times of testing, these persecutions? No, that's not what that means at all. But let me tell you what it does mean. It means that He'll go through the fiery times with us, and He'll carry us and protect us through those hard times, even though we're going through the midst of them. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I love that story because the most thing I love about that story was, you know, they had faith, and I knew that, and I believe that, but they answered the king. When the king said, "Who is your God that you trust Him to protect you and to deliver you out of my hand? Who is this God that you put that much trust in?" And they answered something like this, "Oh, king, we are not careful to answer thee." They answered him with respect. We may not like the governmental system. We may not like our government leaders right now, but we are required to respect them. And let me tell you, someone like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel, and them guys could show respect to their leadership or to their king that was over them. Because they were captive. They were enslaved. And they were not just subjects to them, but they were literally in bondage to them. The old king, we're not careful to answer the Olympic matter. He said, "Oh, God is able to deliver us out of your hand. But king, if not." We just need to let you know something. I'm paraphrasing this, but we need to let you know something. We're not going to bow to that false idol. You see, just because the government tells you you have to do something, we can respect you and respectfully disagree. Amen. He said, taking the shield, above all, taking the shield of faith. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ that He'll go with us the whole way, and that He will be our shield, that we may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And then it tells us to take the helmet of salvation. And I ask you this morning, are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? Have you, at some point in your life, put your faith, hope, and trust in Christ? And the third of the all-important is taking the sword again, whenever I was in the military, and I was in the Air Force, so it wasn't like the Army, you know, and I understand the Army, the Marine, those guys, they put more emphasis on learning the weapons than, but I was in the law enforcement part, we dealt with it. You had to be able to identify every little part of that weapon. You had to be able to field strip it, take it down, put it back together in so much time. You had to know where each little part went. You had to be able to practically be able to do it blindfolded, you know, and all of that. And you had to learn that weapon. That Bible right there is your weapon. That's your sword. Most of us folks know more about the characters on our favorite TV show than we do about that book. We know more about our favorite place to go shopping than we do about that book. Men, we know more about our job that we go to every day, and you ought to know your job, than we do that book. We know more about our hobbies. We know more about the things that interest us more than that book. And sometimes we wonder why we lose the battle. Folks, can I tell you this morning? He says, above all, we need to take these things. The faith, the shield of faith. You need to believe and trust God. Second, the helmet of salvation. You need to make sure you know Jesus Christ is your perfect Savior. Three, the sword that you're equipped with to defend yourself with, to go on the assault with, that Bible, the Word of God. Christian, we're required to take above all these three things. And then I want to add a fourth thing to you. Pray. In the next verse, Paul tells the church, pray. 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 We need to watch. We need to pray. We need to learn our Bible. We need to make sure that we're trusting God in everything that we do. We need to make sure we have that helmet of salvation. I know there's a lot more things we can do. Talk about the breastplate of righteousness, covering your heart with the truth of girding your loins, your feet, covering your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. All of that's important. The shield of faith, how we advance by behind the shield, the helmet of salvation to protect our thinking. I know all of that. But above all, he says, the faith, salvation, the Word of God. And we'll be able to stand against all the world. And don't forget to pray. Let's have a song of invitation.